The reading is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 20 to 35, and can be found on page 1005 of the Pew Bibles. That's page 1005, Mark chapter 3, starting at verse 20. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons he is driving out demons." So Jesus called them and spoke to them in a parable. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can rob his house. I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying, "He has an evil spirit." Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother."
Today is a day we remember and celebrate mums. Happy Mother's Day. But it's not a happy day for everyone, as Patricia's already prayed. So your family relationships aren't always what we hope or want. A couple of weeks ago, Heather Eilert was in the news. Her mother disowned her at the age of 17 after she left home in 1978 to live with her boyfriend. She was cut out of her mother's will and she's been fighting it for the last 10 years or so. I can't imagine what it's like to be disowned, who's in the family or out of it. The old saying, blood's thicker than water. Well, it may be, but it's not the strongest bond. There's something greater than that, certainly in Jesus' family back then, 2,000 years ago, but also for us today. What does it mean to be part of Jesus' family? That's what we're looking at today in Mark chapter 3, verses 20 to 35. Thinking about family on Mother's Day. Though I'm going to be preaching slightly shorter than usual as part of this service. Anyway, let's dive in. There's a sermon outline with the service sheet, if that helps. And do have your Bibles open at that reading. That will help us. This is Mark's account of Jesus' life. You'll be quite near the start. But Jesus' ministry is getting noticed. Jesus is going viral, we might say. The crowds are now flocking to Jesus, not just to listen to his teaching, but to see some amazing miracles, which have also caught the eye of the Jewish leaders, who aren't happy. Chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. Jesus is accused of blaspheming, of dishonoring God. There's a number of heated exchanges. Reaching the climax of chapter 3, verse 6, the plot to kill Jesus now begins. But the crowds are still coming to Jesus. And time and again, Jesus shows who he is, the Son of God with God's authority over sickness, over the Jewish laws, over demons. Chapter 3, verse 11, even the demons know who Jesus is. "You are the Son of God," they say. And why has Jesus come? Well, chapter 1, verse 38, to preach. to preach, chapter 1, verse 15, a good news message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. A call to turn from living as God of our lives to living our lives for God, the rightful God of our lives, of finding forgiveness and coming into God's kingdom, God's family, being part of Jesus' true family, the true family of Jesus. Which is where we land in Mark chapter 3, verses 20 to 35. What does it mean to be part of Jesus' family? Who's inside and who's outside? And what we'll see ultimately is that this depends on our relationship with Jesus. Though we're going to see that this isn't always what we expect. Three things we'll look at: insiders on the outside, outsiders on the outside, and outsiders on the inside. Sounds confusing? Well, thankfully, Jesus is very clear. Well, let's look at the first of those points. Insiders on the outside. Those who want Jesus on their terms, who want authority over him. Insiders on the outside. And Jesus heads inside a house and the crowds gather. Verse 20, so many that Jesus and his disciples can't even sit and eat properly. News spreads, and we read that Jesus' family come down to take charge of him, to grab Jesus, to assert their authority over him. Jesus, you're mad. You know, you're not even eating properly anymore. Get home now. This is a 30-year-old man, and they're treating him like a child. They don't get it. They don't really get Jesus, who he is. They want Jesus on their terms, like a dog on a leash. We're in charge. We're your family. Or at least that word means a group of those close to Jesus. We're your family. Get back to us now. But look where Jesus is, and look where they are. Mark paints a wonderful picture. Jesus is inside the house with the crowd. Jesus' family, his insiders by blood or association, well, they're on the outside. Insiders on the outside. Those who want Jesus on their terms, who want authority over him. Insiders on the outside. Which troubles me. I mean, outsiders, those who don't know Jesus at all, or who may just have heard rumours about him, or even those who know about him but don't like him, well, I understand that more, that they reject Jesus altogether. But this group, this family, so clearly on the outside, they ought to be with Jesus on the inside. It's very possible to know Jesus, to know about Jesus quite intimately, to be very close to him in one way, and yet be very much on the outside, and even opposing him, because we don't really understand who he is and what he's about. We just want him on our terms. Some might say a good teacher, that Jesus just teaches good stuff about loving each other. We might think that Jesus is all about love and nothing else, that we can have Jesus, but we don't have to have his message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, that we don't have to turn from living as God of our lives to living our lives for God, that we don't have to change the way we live because we think and we think God thinks there's nothing wrong with the way we live. This is who I am. God will take me like that. And I can think of people a lot worse than me, we might think. And we might be people who take that thinking right into the church. We may call ourselves Christians, been going to church for years, Easter, Christmas, or every week. We might even be leaders in the church. Mark chapter 3 troubles me deeply, that we might be those people making a claim over Jesus, but actually insiders on the outside. Here's someone else's words. Proximity to Jesus, even blood relationship or being called by Jesus, is no substitute for allegiance to Jesus in faith and following. Faith and following is what counts. coming to church or being a spiritual person or coming from a Christian family is no substitute for being those who come to Jesus, listen to him, and follow him with our lives. It's more dangerous to be an insider on the outside than an outsider on the outside, because we think we're okay. We think we're part of Jesus' true family when we may not be. Those who want Jesus on their terms, who want authority over him. Others don't want Jesus at all. Yeah, that's the second point on the sermon outline. Outsiders on the outside. Those who don't want Jesus, who reject his authority to forgive sins. Outsiders on the outside. Our eldest son, Josiah, has a magic set. Some of his tricks are pretty good. Foam rabbits that have babies, balls that move through cups. Even more in wonder are his little sisters, who sometimes just can't work it out. And whilst we know magic isn't real, you know, it's just an illusion, it is to them, for all intents and purposes, a real miracle how the foam rabbits have babies. They try to guess how it happens. But for all their guesses, there is one thing I've never heard them say. That's of the devil. I don't quite know what Josiah would say if they said that. Verse 22, the gathering outside the house is gathering. The religious leaders have joined the scene, come from the capital Jerusalem. They've heard of Jesus' teaching, heard of Jesus' real miracles, God things that only God can do. But they make the ultimate accusation, that is of the devil. What a contrast to God's words in chapter 1 at Jesus' baptism. You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Jesus is clearly powerful. He has authority to drive out the devil's demons. We've read about that in chapter 1. The religious leaders don't deny Jesus' authority. They just don't want Jesus. So they accuse him of being in league with the devil. They attribute his authority to the work of the devil, which is just stupid by anyone's standards. How can Satan drive out Satan, says Jesus in verse 23. It's stupid to oppose yourself. It's sabotage. Like a general pulling his best troops out of battle. Or the NHS getting rid of the best doctors to reduce costs. It's the beginning of the end. Verse 26, if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, driving out the demons, Jesus' authority over evil spirits, actually proves the opposite. Not that Jesus is in league with the devil, but that the devil is defeated. You may watch World's Strongest Man. Those guys are big. Yeah, if you've ever seen it, the Atlas Stones are the signature event. American Brian Shaw won last year's title. I wouldn't try to steal his trophy. I mean, you wouldn't get past him. The only way you get it is to knock him out and grab the trophy when he's tied up. You could take what you want from his trophy cabinet then, but it would be a big man who could do that. We've already seen Jesus taking what he wants from Satan's trophy cabinet. Demon after demon is driven out. Chapter 3, verse 11. And whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." Jesus isn't in league with the devil. Jesus has tied up the devil and is currently ransacking his house. As powerful as the devil is, he is powerless against Jesus. Who is Jesus? Where does his authority come from? You are the Son of God. That seems a much more plausible explanation for all we're reading about in Mark's gospel than Jesus being in league with the devil, or just a good teacher, or whatever we want to believe about Jesus. To be honest, if we don't want Jesus, if we don't want to deal with the things he says and does, which may challenge our thinking or the way we live our lives, we'll reject Jesus. outsiders on the outside who don't want Jesus will reject his authority. It's not difficult to find reasons to reject Jesus. The religious leaders claimed Jesus was in league with the devil as an excuse to reject him and his authority over their lives. We might hear today that Jesus is out of date. He's not relevant to my life. Nice stories, but not true. Jesus just wants to stop me having fun. The problem is that rejecting Jesus, claiming he's anything other than the Son of God with God's authority, is to reject Jesus' authority to forgive sins. Jesus is so clear on that. We cannot be forgiven unless we accept Jesus' authority as God's authority, because only God has the authority to forgive sins. The religious leaders know that in chapter 2. Who can forgive sins but God alone, they say. If we reject Jesus and attribute his authority to the work of the devil, or belittle it, or whatever other reason we find, we're rejecting for ourselves the only way we can be forgiven. The only way we can come into God's kingdom and be part of God's family, part of Jesus' true family. To look Jesus in the face, as the religious leaders do here, and attribute the power and authority of God to the devil, is to deny the only way we can be part of the true family of Jesus. That's what it means in verse 29, to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. It's not that there's something we could ever do that's so bad God won't forgive us. And many of us often feel like that. People say, you don't know what I've done. But God does. And verse 28, all the sins of men will be forgiven them. The sins of youth and of age, of anger and of complacency, of pride and of the tongue. The unbeliever or the backsliding Christian, there is nothing or no one beyond the scope of God's forgiveness for all who repent, who turn from living as God of our lives to living our lives for God, whether for the first time or if we've been Christians for 30 years. God will forgive all our sins if we will but turn to him and say sorry. But to look in the face of the one through whom forgiveness comes and deny who he is and the power he has to forgive is to reject the only means by which we can be forgiven. And there are, verse 29, eternal consequences for such things. This is a warning. But it's not a cause for anxiety. If you're worried you've committed an unforgivable sin, then you haven't. Your conscience is calling you to repentance. Take it. But be worried if you aren't worried. Outsiders on the outside. And there are still insiders on the outside, verses 31 to 32. Still there as Mark moves our focus back outside the house for a moment. Still staking their claim over Jesus. And certainly now Jesus' mother and brothers have arrived. But we'll close more briefly with our final group of people. Outsiders on the inside. Those who come to Jesus on his terms. Who receive his forgiveness and follow him. Outsiders on the inside. Because back inside the house, verse 32, there's a group of people sitting around Jesus, making no claim over him. In fact, listening to him, allowing Jesus to have his claim over them. There's this picture again. Jesus' blood family on the outside, who want authority over him. Yet Jesus makes it clear, verse 34, looking at those seated in a circle around him inside the house, he says, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus' true family on the inside. Outsiders on the inside. No claim on Jesus, but those who come to him on his terms, whoever we are, whatever we've done, who receive his forgiveness and follow him. Whether we want authority over Jesus, Jesus on our terms, or whether we reject Jesus' authority over us, rejecting Jesus completely, both leave us outside the true family of Jesus. It doesn't matter whether we've been around Jesus all our lives or whether this is the first time we've been to church. Jesus redefines family. Don't stand on the outside of Jesus' true family making false assumptions. Come inside. Sit at Jesus' feet. Do God's will. Listen to Jesus. Receive his forgiveness. Live lives as forgiven people in the true family of Jesus. As we finish now, Jesus' question in verse 33, who are my mother and my brothers? Well, it should unsettle those of us here who are feeling comfortable and comfort those of us here who are feeling unsettled. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of family, especially for those mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers and children who've loved us and whom we have loved. We thank you too that we can each be a part of Jesus' true family, however joyful or painful our earthly family life has been. We pray that you might indeed unsettle us now where we want Jesus on our own terms, for those areas of our lives where we want authority over him, or where we simply reject Jesus altogether. Help us see that there is no forgiveness apart from coming to Jesus in repentance and faith. And we pray too that you might comfort us where we're feeling unsettled. If we realize we haven't yet received Jesus' forgiveness, or that we're not yet following Jesus with every part of our lives, help us know that in him there is perfect forgiveness and the power by your Spirit to live as part of his true family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.